Right, Northampton Colo.
Share given on Sunday, May the 9th, 2010. Cafe ER, Toshin Ayin. Share given by Gershon Hettner. And we're on Tehillim, Chapter Tezayin. And we're just on the last three psukim, which we did last week, actually. We did them last week with the main Rishonim and also with the Medrashim. And now we'll do them with a few other Svarim. Yeah, I'll give you the pasuk numbers. Yeah, right. So we're going from pasuk tes, and we'll do what we did last week. And then we're actually going to go through tes, yud, and yud aleph. I'll go through them, all three of them together in one go because they're very much related. You're right, tes zayin. It's around there. The last three pasukim, starting pasuk tes lachim. Lachim samach libi. Therefore, my heart rejoices. Vayogel kavodi, and my honor celebrates or is happy. Af b'sari yishken lavetach, also my flesh will dwell or will live lavetach securely in peace. And we mentioned last week, this is a reference to the fact that his neshama lives on. Kavodi is an expression of the neshama. Vayogel kavodi, my covered, that is my neshama, will live on. And af b'sari yishken lavetach, we spoke about the Gemara which discussed whether David HaMelech decayed, with his body decayed after he died. We saw it was machlokas. Prosecute, kilo sazev nashi b'shaol, you will not forsake my soul to the grave. Lo sitim chasid cholures shachas, you will not allow your chasid, that is me, says David, lures shachas, to see destruction. And we learned last week that's a reference to Gehenna, that his neshama will not go down to Gehenna, and the soul will live on in Gan Eden. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Todiyeni Erachayim, you will inform me the way of life, so that smachos, with plenty of happiness, plenty of celebrations, espon, or satisfied with celebrations, esponecho, with your face, i.e. in your company, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi'imos b'mincha netzach, pleasantness, b'mincha, at your right hand side, netzach, forever. And the gist of all these three psukim, they really belong together as one unit, is that David is saying that he will not go down to Gehenna, his neshama will live on, and his neshama will live on in Gan Eden, where he will enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine presence in Gan Eden, and that will go on forever. Excuse me. Okay, let's start with a piece of Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch on the expression in Pasuk Tes, Lochein Samach Libi Vayogel Kavodi. We have two expressions here for happiness. We have Samach, rejoice, or happy. Samach Libi, my heart will be happy. And Vayogel Kavodi, Vayogel is an expression of Gila, which is another expression of happiness. And we know from Shavu Brachos, Gila, Rina, Tisa, Vechedva, is one of the expressions of happiness. So I'm really just going to go back now to a piece of Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, which is on the last pasuk of chapter Yud Dalet, which is chapter Yud Dalet, pasuk Zayin, where we have the pasuk Yogel Yaakov Yismach Yisrael. Again, Yogel, which is an expression of Gila, and Yismach, which is an expression of Simcha. Nogila, yeah, Nogila v'nismacha, absolutely, Nogila, we will rejoice, or we would like to rejoice, yeah. So Yogel Yaakov Yismach Yisrael, again an expression of Gila, and again an expression of Simcha. So there, Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, on that posuk, at the end of chapter Yud Dalet, comments that the word Gila is related to the word Kol, a voice, Kufav Lamed, because Yogel and Kol, the Gimel and the Kuf, have similar sounds. The sound comes, I think, from the back of the throat. So the gimel, g, and the kuf, k, are both related consonants. Yeah? Rashi brings that? Yes, yeah, it rings a bell, yes, yeah. Because it comes from... Let's just...
From Rashi's Kadesh, I think Rashi talks about that. Yeah, in this.
Oh, Rechilus, yeah?
Rechilus, yeah.
Ah, right, ah, I don't remember. Yeah. It does ring a bell, Rochel and Rogel, yes, that's it. Letters which are formed, where the sounds are formed from similar parts of the mouth, either the tongue or the throat or the palate, different parts of the mouth. Those letters are related.
So it's only when you put a dogish in the
cup that has a k. Yeah.
Yes, when without a dogish, it's not. It's strange.
It's just a k.
You think that the k would be in with the ches? You think because it's. But Rashi says that no, the k is like the gimbal because it's. He's assuming that the top has a dogish in it, so you're making it a curve.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Something to think about. Yeah, but here it's not. Here that won't apply because it's a kuf anyway. Yeah, kol with a kol for a voice, which is spelled kuf of lamed. Okay. Similar related word to yogel gila to celebration. Likewise, he says the word yismach, says Rosh Hashem Falash, is related to the word yitzmach, which is to grow, which is gradual. Growth is always gradual, normally. Yeah. Unless we're talking about a teenage boy who suddenly shoots up overnight. But we're talking, otherwise it's tzmicha, which is growth, which is a slow process. Says Rosh Hashanah Shem Hirsch, gila, related to kol, is a sudden, joyous burst of happiness. And simcha, which is gradual, tzmicha, growth, is a more gentle, calm state of contentment. That's how he differentiates between these two. So he says, Yogel, what normally comes first is Yogel, which is how it is in the end of chapter Yodalot. Yogel Yaakov, followed by Yismach Yisrael. It's normal to have an immediate burst of absolute joy and ecstasy, followed by a calming down and a calm, more calm period of contentment and happiness. So normally, first comes Gila, followed by Simcha. Here it's the other way around. Samach Libi first, the more calm Simcha, followed by Vayogel Kavodi, which is this more ecstatic form of instant joy, more vociferous, like the word kol, a shout from a voice. So it's the other way around. The Malbim does comment on this as well. Why it's he gives a reason why it's the other way around, and I didn't understand it. Okay, that's Rosh Hashanah Shem Hirsch. Another thing that Rosh Hashanah Shem Hirsch comments on is that going back to the previous passage, going back to Pasuk Ches, Shivisa Hashem Lenegdi Samid, I'm constantly aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Lenegdi, he's in front of me Samid all the time. He says this recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the giver in life and he's the one who makes everything happen and he's the one that bestows good upon us. That is what gives a person ultimate joy. And here, in our pasuk, David HaMelech says, Lachin samach libi, I'm delighted, I celebrate, vayogel kavodi, I rejoice. He says, but there's going to be a time when all my kavod will come to an end. Says David, vayogel kavodi, right now, my kavod, my glory, will celebrate and will rejoice. But once I pass away, says David, then all my kavod will go. I won't be this great king anymore. Once I'm buried in the ground, all that will be left of me will be Basori. Af Basori Ishkenavetov, just going to be my bossa. So he says, however, that won't stop me celebrating. I will still rejoice. Why? Because if I recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a giver and he's the one who bestows all this good upon me, then I will celebrate both in life and also in death. So Rav Shimshon van Hirsch comments on this word kavodi, libi and kavodi. Once my kavod goes, I will still be able to celebrate, even without my kavod, af besori yishkon avetach, when all that's left of me is my bosar, my guf. It's true. He says, even once my bosar is put in the ground and there's all that and there'll be nothing left of me, nevertheless I will still say, I still rejoice, rejoicing over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
Maybe he's with these neshamas to rejoice.
Yes, I'm sure that's the case. Yeah, rejoicing in the neshama. Which is really is borne out by the other Rishonim who learned the word kavod. Kavodi is reference to the neshama. Yeah. Now, Rav Shimshon van Hirsch goes on as well to say on the word chassid cholu, it's in chassid cholu as shochas. Norman? Norman, just about to quote you. Last week you commented on the word chassid chol, which is in Pasuk Yud. Ki lesazim nashi l'sh'ol, you won't forsake my neshama or my nefesh to the sh'ol, to the grave. Lo sitin chassid cholu as shochas. He won't allow your pious one, your chosid, to see destruction. Now this word chasidcha is very strange, and something you mentioned last week, Norman, that the word chasidcha is spelled with that extra yud. Do you remember? Chasidecha, which with the Kree is chasidcha, your pious one, but the kasiv is chasidecha, your pious ones. And Rav Shimshon Fedash comments on this. He's the only one I've seen who comments on this. Why is it in the plural? And he says, and I think I mentioned this briefly last week, but I haven't fully understood it last week, and that is chasidecha, your pious ones, refers to my good deeds, plural. Which is why it's got that extra yud in the kasiv, the extra yud at the end makes it into plural. Your pious ones, i.e. my pious deeds, my actions that I do, those are the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow Liros Shochas to see destruction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all my pious deeds, they'll ascend up to Shamayim, and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treasure them and will reward the Neshama for all those pious deeds. So Lo Sitim Chasidcha, or using the kasiv, the way it's written, Lo Sitim Chasidecha, you won't allow your pious deeds, all the deeds that people do, the good things that people do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't allow those deeds, Liros Shochas, to be destroyed. No, those will remain. He's referring to himself, for sure, but he's also referring to every tzaddik and every good deed that a person does. They will not be, those good deeds won't go to waste. They'll be rewarded in Shamayim.
The Neshama will get rewarded.
The Neshama will be rewarded, absolutely.
So, I understand the reason why I've got the extra yud. But why is it chasidecha, not
chasidecha? Well, with the yud, if you would read it with the yud, then you would read it chasidecha. Without the, but the way, that's the kasiv, that's the way the word is written. I don't know how it's printed in that sefer. Is it printed with an extra yud at the end?
It's a
shiva, under dalet.
Right. Which you
right. That is the kari, that's the way we read the word. But if you have a look here, in the way my tanach is printed here, you'll see there, it's just over there, you'll see that it's written, the kasiv is with an extra yud. Can you see that? In other words, the word is a kri kasiv. It's written with an extra yud before the chof, but it's not pronounced. And we read it as though it's written without that yud, chasidecha. So it's a kri kasiv. The kasiv... Exactly, thank you. You read it as though it's singular, chasidecha, but the way it's written, if we were to read it the way it's written, then we would read it chasidecha.
In the plural.
In the plural, exactly. Exactly. Thank you. Very, very clear. Thank you. That's it. Chassid. The kasiv is chasidecha, plural, and the kari is chasidecha in the singular. So the way they printed it there is just chasidecha, because that's where it's read. But in the nach, and I'm guessing yours as well. Yeah, it shows the kasiv as well, the way the word is written. Yeah. Good. Okay. And one last thing, I think, here. One last thing from Shimshon Felhirsch on that last pasuk, Tezioni Orachaim, you will inform me of the way of life. He says, life, death, says Shimshon Felhirsch, is all life. Tezioni Orachaim, show me the way of life, is clearly a reference to Olam Haba. We mentioned this at length last week. That last pasuk is a reference to Olam Haba. Tezioni Orachaim, show me the way of life. And I'm showing you the way to life in Olam Haba. He says, what we think is Chaim, if you think Olam Hazeh is Chaim, it isn't really. Olam Haba is true Chaim. That's why a Beis Olam is often referred to as a Beis HaChaim. Beis HaChaim is a place of life. Because Olam Haba really is the true life. That is the real Chaim. That's the real life. And Rosh Hashanah Van Hirsch points this out. And it reminded me of something which I heard years ago when I was a Bach in Gateshead Yeshiva from Rav Matisyahu Salomon, who once pointed out that Parshas Vayechi, we call it Parshas Vayechi, begins with the word Vayechi Yaakov, right? Vayechi, he lives. But the main theme of Parshas Vayechi is the death of Yaakov. Oh, Vayechi is Noam's, your surgery, right? So the main theme of Parshas Vayechi is Yaakov's death. All right. The main theme of Vayechi is the death of Yaakov. And not only Yaakov, but at the end also Yosef also dies. And I remember Matzis Yosef Salomon saying, that is true Chaim. The true Chaim is the Olam Haba enjoyed by a tzaddik. That is the true Chaim. So we call Parshas Vayechi, Vayechi, and it begins with the word Vayechi, and the whole theme of the Parsha is the death of Yaakov, which is really Olam Haba, which is the real Chaim.
Yeah.
Beis Olam. Beis Olam. Yeah. Well, Olam also meaning forever.
Forever.
Beis Olam. Similar idea. Yeah. We'll come back to this word Olam shortly when we do the Malbim. Oh, we're going to the Malbim now. Here we are. Malbim is next on the list. Yeah. Says the Malbim on Pasuk Yud. Kilo sazev nafshi lisha'ol, you won't allow my nefesh to go down to the grave. Says the Malbim, it's my guf, my body, that goes into the sha'ol, that goes into the grave. But my nefesh, that the manashom, if you like, which is all the ruchnias, that's not going into the grave, that's not going to be destroyed, that stays with that Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it's written in Pasuk Yud Aleph, so that's machas espanecho, enjoying satisfaction of happiness with espanecho in your presence, nimes mimincha netzach, with this pleasantness at your right hand side. So that's with the neshama. The guf, indeed the guf goes into the sheol, the guf goes into the grave, but not the neshama. The Malbim also points out on this word Shochas, the last word in Pasuk Yud, he quotes a Pasuk from Tehillim, and it's chapter Nun Hei, Pasuk Kaftalas, to explain the meaning of the word Shochas. So he says that the word Shochas is the, yeah, here we are, Nun Hei, tell him Nun Hei Kaftalas, Va'ata Elekim, talking about Rasha'im. Va'atolikim, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, Teru Deim, you'll bring them down, Live'er Shachas, to the pit of Shachas, which is, of course, we mentioned last week, is one of the names of Gehenim. The Rosha is slept down into Gehenim. Anshe Domim Umirma, men of blood and guile and cunning, Lo Yechetzi Yemehem, they won't even live half their lifespan. They don't even live a proper lifespan. In this world, yes, in this world. Now, this chapter is referring to two particular Rishoyim, Doeg and Achisophel. And Yitz Hashem will all live long enough to get to chapter Nun Hei together. But the, you're laughing. Okay. I hope so. We'll get there. Yeah. So this chapter is talking about Rishoyim, two particular Rishoyim, Doeg and Achisophel, who both lived short lives. As far as I remember, Doeg lived till the ripe old age of 33, and Achisophel lived to the ripe old age of 34, if I'm not mistaken. Achisophel, yeah. So Leah Chesim, and they didn't even live half their lifespan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had allotted them a much longer life, but he cut their lives short because they were such disgusting Rishoyim. Says the Malbim, based on this pasuk, to redeem the Be'er Shachas, you bring these Rishonim down to the Be'er Shachas. Says the Malbim, Shachas is not just a reference to the grave, it's a reference to an early grave, when a person dies young, before the time that he should have died. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him down to an early grave. So he says, the converse with the the tzaddik will be blessed with the richus yomim. Yeah? So he says, you won't allow your pious one to see an early grave. In other words, live a full life. Of course we do. Yeah, we found tzaddik and we do die young. Of course, okay. So that's not for us to explain. We will never understand it. But David himself did not die particularly young. He lived to the age of 70. Do you remember the Medrash which we learned once before, that he was going to die young, he was going to die at birth, and Odom gave him 70 years? Yeah.
Well, Chodesh Chaim lived a very long life.
Yes, he did.
In his 95, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah. So, okay, but we also do find Tzadikim who do die young. Yeah, you found some amazing... Rabbi Akiva. And Rava, I think it was Rava, died at the age of 40. Yes, Rava, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing what he packed into his life. And Rabbi Cooper, Sechasadu Livracha, I have to quote Rabbi Cooper. Rabbi Cooper once said to me that Rava is the most often quoted name in Shas. I think he said he appears pretty much every two pages in Gemara. Yeah. And he died at the age of 40. I think I've got that right. Or was it Abaya? It was either Abaya or Rava. I'm not sure. Anyway, neither of them, I don't think either of them lived particularly long lives. Okay. The Malbim also points out that, of course, the yes, that last pasuk, Tedieni Erachayim, this last pasuk again being a reference to Gan Eden, Olam Haba, so it says Tedieni Erachayim, you inform me of the way of life, Sovas Samachos, and the Chayim, he says, is of course the true life, which is Olam Haba, Sovas Samachos, with being an absolute being sated with happiness. And still never finishing the happiness. Happiness just goes on and on. Says the Malbim, happiness in this world doesn't go on and on and on. There's always an end to it. You know, you might have a good time for a while, but you know, the ups and downs of life. Whereas in Olam Haba, no such thing as down. It's all up. So that's why Sovas Samachos. Likewise, Esponecho, in your company, with your face, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has to be a reference to Olam Haba. And the last word, B'mincha Netzach, says the Malbim, this comes up to what you were saying, Johnny, before about the word Olam. Yes. It says, what's the difference between the word Olam, which means forever, yes, and the word Netzach, which also means forever? Says the Malbim, La Olam means forever in Olam Hazer. Netzach means forever in Olam Haba. That's how the Malbim explains it. Yeah. And what, the Malbim often differentiates.
It says another, which is 50.
And so what? Yes. Well, the nun. What's the connection with the word with the nun and eternity?
Because it's one beyond. It's one.
It's like 50. Oh, I see. With 49 being a multiple of 7, 7 square,
yeah.
50 being the next stage.
Yeah. Ah. Like 8.
Yeah. 8 being one above the 7. Right. Ah. Yeah. Oh. Netzach can also mean victory. Yeah, we had the word lamnatzeach, victorious. Yes, it can also mean victory. Here it has another meaning. Here it means forever. Like you hear people saying lenetzach natzachim, lenetzach natzachim. You say it somewhere in davening. Oh yeah, ledavad. So lenetzach natzachim kedusha aschon hakdesh. Yeah.
It's a reference to eternal victory, lasting victory. Victory don't last. One battle, one war, one effort.
Yeah.
But the Netzach in this sense maybe is very lasting.
Could be, yeah. I didn't see that, but yes, it could be. One other chap from the Malbim, which I found very hard to understand from the Malbim, but then I saw it quoted and explained in slightly different wording in the Yalkut Miam Lois, and that got me to understand it, is on Pasuk Tess. Lochin samach libi, my heart rejoices, vayogo kavodi, my honor rejoices, celebrates hapasoyish kenevetach, says the Malbim, the true tzaddik, the one who conquers his yetzarah, will benefit from three particular things. Number one is the lev, the heart. Why? A person's heart, while a person is still struggling with his yetzarah, he has this constant internal battle of his yetzarah versus his yetzarah, and the lev, the heart, is constantly battling. You know, the lev is constantly battling, trying to get the person to listen to the yetzarah, but not to the yetzarah. But once he's gone past that stage, and he's a true tzaddik, samach libi, the heart is happy, because he's won the war. He's like, the heart can the heart is happy. Likewise, no. Of course, we know that. Yeah, a person, adiomoso. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The person, what's the Russian? That's it. Don't trust us. I can't remember the wording. It's in Precarious, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. The neshama. He will also celebrate, of course, and that's Vayog El Kavodi, my neshama celebrates, and the flesh also celebrates. Bosa, Apasar Yishko Nevetach will also celebrate, because once a person is a true tzaddik, then everything will benefit. The whole body will benefit from this man's righteousness, and that's benefits all round to the lev, the neshama, and the bosar. Okay. Now, Vilna Gaon. Listen to this piece of Vilna Gaon. One second, and yeah, we'll take this. Yeah. The Vilna Gaon explains that we know that Gehenna has a number of different stages. One of those stages, he says, in fact, the first stage of Gehenna, says the Vilna Gaon, is the Sheol. And when I say the first stage, that means the lightest, the least severe. So we'll call it the first stage in Gehenna. Let's imagine going down into Gehenna. So the first stage is called the Sheol, and the next one, number two, is Shachas. And I believe that there are seven altogether.
Seven
levels of Gehenna. The first stage, i.e. the lightest stage, would be Sheol, says the Gaon. It's a machlokes. I'm learning how according to the Gaon. First one is called Sheol, and the second one is called Shachas.
Can you get out of Sheol, or once you're into Sheol, you're down as
No idea. No idea. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no idea. We don't know. So he said, now the Vilna Gaon comes out with a very big chiddush on this. A chiddush which I'll say straight away, I haven't got a clue how to understand this. Says the Vilna Gaon, and in fact, you'll find this pirush of the Vilna Gaon. I've got a sefer, the Vilna Gaon on Tehillim, but it's not really the Vilna Gaon on Tehillim, it's really writings that he wrote on other Sforim, which have been collected together wherever he refers to Tehillim. So you actually find this piece of Vilna Gaon in Mishlei, chapter Kafches, Pasuk Yud. And he explains as follows, and this is very hard to understand. He says, everybody goes to the Sheol level of Gehenna. Even the greatest tzaddikim go to the Sheol level of Gehenna. Yeah. Oh. He says, but whether a person goes lower, I suppose it will depend on what he's done and what he hasn't done in his life. But the Sheol level, even the greatest of tzaddikim has to pass through the Sheol level. Now, bearing that in mind, he learns as follows. Go back to Pasuk Yud. He says, Kilo sa'azav nafshi l'sheol. You won't leave me there. Sa'azav. Don't leave my nefesh in the Sheol. I realize, says David, I've got to go through the Sheol. But hopefully for a very, very short amount of time, and you won't leave me there. But, lo sitin chasidcha liros shachas. But don't let me, your chasid, even get a glimpse of shachas, which is the next level down. It says, Shachas, I don't even want to see it. I hope I won't even have to see it. Never mind not go there, I don't even want to see it. I realize that I will have to go through the Sheol level of Gehenna, but okay, I've got to go through it, but don't leave me there. Lo Sa'azev Nafshi L'Sheol, that's how the Vilna Gaon learns. And he contrasts this with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and it's Perek Hei, and it's Mishnah Kaf Beis, where he says that Ma Bein Talmidor shel Avram Avinu l'Talmidor shel Bilam HaRasha. What are the differences between the Talmidim of Avram and Talmidim of Bilam? And he explains that Talmidim of Avram Avinu ochlim b'olam hazeh v'nochlim olam haba. We enjoy olam hazeh and then we give in olam haba. Shenema l'hanchel o'ava yesh v'etzutem ha'malet poskim mishle. Avol bat Talmidor shel Bilam HaRasha, says the Vilna Gaon, watch this carefully, the Talmidim of Bilam yarishim gehenem. They inherit Gehenna. That means it belongs to them. They're there in Gehenna. They're there for a long haul. Yeah, it's not just a fleeting moment in the Sheol, which I hope is the maximum I'll have to go through. For Yodim, and they go down Liver Shachas. Go right down to the Be'er Shachas. And quotes the Pasuk we mentioned earlier, Shalem about Telekim to redeem the Be'er Shachas. You bring them down to the Be'er Shachas. So he says everybody, even the greatest of tzaddikim, has to experience the first level of Gehenna, the Sheol. But lo sa'azav nafshi, you won't leave me there in the Sheol. Don't leave me in the Sheol. I hope I won't even have to get a glimpse of the Shachas. Whereas contrasting that with the Rishoyim, as written in this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, they go down Yarishim Gehenna, the Yaridim the Be'er Shachas. They go right down into Be'er Shachas. Yeah.
A Jew, he only goes cleansing of the soul so he can ascend to Shemayim. Every Jew, even the biggest Rasha. But the Goyim, or the Rashaim, have no goodness at all in them. They descend lower and lower and lower in Gehenna. What purpose?
I can't possibly answer. No idea.
Yeah.
No idea. We also don't understand what kind of rewards there might be for the tzaddikim and the olam.
Yeah.
Yeah, tzaddikim of the nations of the world, they get rewarded somehow. Where and how, we haven't got a clue.
Gershon, have you covered this issue of Sheol in a previous shiur, where you particularly
in
the chapter above?
Ooh, I don't remember.
In the Tachlon, you say, Bisha'ol, mi yodelach.
Ah, mi yodelach, yes. I don't remember.
I've always thought this when I'm doing Tachlon, I've always thought that it's David Melech is alluding to the fact that everyone goes through it, because he wouldn't have said it like that otherwise. He really says, Bisha'ol, mi yodelach.
When? It's a definite, it's a certainty to go to the Sheol. It's how the Vilna Gaon learns. I don't remember learning it on that word, on that chapter, but I forget these shiurim within about 5 minutes of finishing them, I'm afraid. Sorry, that's my memory. I have to look back and listen to the recordings.
It's a tachanun, because we say it every day.
Is it a punishment or experience?
Why should a tzaddik go to the Sheol?
Yeah, but the Vilna Gaon is saying even the greatest tzaddik has to go to the Sheol.
Because you're from the ground you came, you can't reflect. It's got to be the beginning of the end. You start from the ground, you come from the ground, you've got to go back to the ground. It's a cycle.
Yeah, but you don't know where the Sheol is the ground, do you?
It's spiritual.
It's not necessarily physical. Well, it's an illusion. He talks about the grave. The grave is where you go down, you're buried.
Spiritual. Yeah, spiritual. Yeah, well, two things. It's got two meanings. The word Sheol does mean a grave, and the word Sheol was also a reference to this top level of Gehenna. So, it's really
dead. So, you can go buried. Of course they're buried. They're not embalmed.
Translating Sheol literally as we understand it,
buried in the
ground, it may not
be so. Well, it has both meanings. It has both meanings. We've seen it's got both meanings.
There's connections.
Yeah, there's people who suffer and people
who
don't suffer.
But they're both in the ground.
Yeah, but if you don't suffer in the ground, then you don't suffer in the ground. I explained to them.
Okay, the Al-Sheikh, let's move on to the Al-Sheikh. Tremendous piece of Al-Sheikh. First, a small thing from the Al-Sheikh, very similar to what the Malbim says. He says that the, on Pasuk Tes, Lachem Samach Libi Vayogel Kavodi, Apasoyishkan Abetach, so he says if a person does Averos, then the Guf is happy and the Neshama is sad. But when a person does mitzvahs, then the neshama is happy and the guf is happy, because the person benefits all round. It's a win-win situation, both for the guf and the neshama. So it says, somach libi and vayogel kavodi, right? I celebrated, everything's happy, the leiv, which is part of the guf, and af besori ishkan avetach, which of course is the guf, and vayogel kavodi is the neshama, everything celebrates. It's a win-win situation. Yeah, win all round. Now, here's the main piece of Al-Sheikh.
Not
the Matanis. Okay, the Vasa suffers, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, here's a big piece of Al-Sheikh. Now, the Al-Sheikh defines, let me get this right, the Al-Sheikh defines Sheol as not like the Vilna Gaon. So the first thing you need to know is there's not small machlokes between the Vilna Gaon and the Al-Sheikh. The Vilna Gaon learned that Sheol was the first level of Gehenna and Shachas was the second level of Gehenna, while the Al-Sheikh learns the opposite way around. Okay? Yeah. He learns that the Sheol is deeper and therefore worse than Shachas. Right. Next point to consider. Yeah, okay, we don't understand these things. Okay. Watch this how the Al-Sheikh learns the Pshat here. The Al-Sheikh comments, and it's very hard to understand, that when a tzaddik dies, the tzaddik goes into Gehenna in order to schlep someone else out. Have you heard that before? Amazing, eh? He says if someone who's due to come out of Gehenna shortly, with the death of the tzaddik, that is some kind of a zechus, and when the tzaddik dies, it provides a zechus, and provides a zechus for someone who else who's in Gehenna, and the tzaddik goes into Gehenna in order to schlep someone else out with him. That's how the Al-Sheikh learns. And he quotes a Gemara. I have to show this Gemara. It's a startling piece of Gemara.
Don't just think of myself. I think of others too.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
As I ascend, I take you with me.
That's right.
I'm going in. But, and the whole purpose of this study, going into Gehenna, is simply to bring someone else out. Yes. Of course, yes, a big chesed. Now, the Al-Sheikh quotes the Gemara in Brachas Daf Kaf Ches Amud Beis, which refers to the last moments of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? When he was dying, when he was ill. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai became ill, Nichmas the Talmid of Levako, his Talmid came in to visit him. Kimisharoi, someone who saw them, his Chalif Kosi began to cry. Omele Talmidov, the Talmidim said to him, Nei Yisrael, you're the light of Israel. Amud Hayimini, you're the right hand pillar, you're this strong, wonderful tzaddik. Patish Hechozok, you're the strong hammer. Mibne Matabocha, why are you crying? Somebody's asking Rabbi Yochanan, why are you crying? Omelemi said to them, supposing a human king would be before me, if they would be bringing you to a human king, and a human king, Shayim Khan, who's here today, or Mochab Bekeva, and tomorrow is in the grave, Shayim Koisalai, and if he were to become angry with me, in Kasu Kasu Lom, his anger is not an eternal anger. Vim Osrani, if he put me in prison, Ein Isiru Isiru Lom, the prison sentence will not be an eternal prison sentence. Vim Mimiseni, and even if he were to kill me, Ein Misasa Misasu Lom, my death, his killing of me, will not be an eternal death, because it's Chis Mesim. And I'd even be able to pacify him verbally, or the shachter b'momen, and I might even be able to get my way around him by bribing him. Nevertheless, I'd be petrified going to see a human king. So Hashav, now they're bringing me before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was dying, now I'm about to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's eternal. If he's angry with me, his anger will be eternal. And if he were to put me in prison, that would be for eternity. And if he would kill me off, that would be eternal. And I can't possibly calm him down with verbally. I can't talk him out of anything. And I can't bribe him financially. And not only that, so I'm petrified. So that's why I'm crying. And now he has something. That's not all. Ella bat sheyesh lefanai shnei derachim. I see before me two paths. Achas shel Gan Eden va'achas shel Gehenem. One of Gan Eden and one of Gehenem. Ve'eini yodem. I don't know be'ezo menichmos. I don't know which way they'll take me. I don't know where I'm destined. Am I destined for Gan Eden? Am I destined for Gehenem? I don't know. Lo hevke. Shouldn't I cry? Of course I cry. I'm absolutely petrified. So of course I'm going to cry. Says the Al-Sheikh, what's just in these two paths? He sees two paths before him, one for Gan Eden and one for Gehenem. Says the Al-Sheikh, the pshat is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was for sure destined for Gan Eden. The only thing was, he didn't know what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying is, will I have to first go through Gehenem if only to schlep someone else out? Yeah? That's how the Al-Sheikh is learning. Says the Al-Sheikh, going to Gan Eden would be considered the right-hand path, if you like, the right fork in the road. He sees two Durachim before him. The right path on the right-hand side is going to Gan Eden. The left-hand path would be the path to Gehenem. Says the Al-Sheikh, this is what the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says. He says, I can see these two paths before me, I don't know which way I'm going. David HaMelech is saying, I realize that I might go to Gehenem if only to schlep someone else out. Says David, I don't even want to have to do that. I don't want to go to Gehenem even to schlep someone else out. You'll say to me, going to Gehenem, tell the Al-Sheikh learns, going to Gehenem to schlep someone else out is a chesed, it's a good thing, I'll be helping someone else, it's wonderful, it's pleasant. He says, not quite enough. Why? Last pasuk, Tadieni Urachaim Sivas Machus Espanecha Ni'imus Biyemincha Netzach. I'd rather go on the right-hand side. I want to go take the right-hand path, which is the direct route to Gan Eden. I don't want to have to go down the left-hand path, which would take me to Gehenna, even if it's merely to schlep someone else out. I will say to me, going to Gehenna to schlep someone else out is the most wonderful thing to do. It's sovas mochus. It's a multitude of pleasantness, of happiness to take someone else out. It's ne'imos. It's pleasant. It's a good thing to do. Says David, no. Sovas mochus is best when it is esponecho, in your presence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Gan Eden without going via Gehenna. Ne'imos, pleasantness, is wonderful, but it's not as good as ne'imos b'yamincha, pleasantness on your right-hand path, i.e. the path to Gan Eden. That's how the Al-Sheikh learns this. So he says, I'd rather not go to Gehenna even for a moment, even if it's to schlep someone else out, I would rather go to Gan Eden. You don't like it because you're saying it sounds very selfish. Yeah. You don't like it. Okay, it sounds selfish. But look, David probably understood more of Gehenna than we do. He says, I don't want to have to go to Gehenna even for the best reason in the world, i.e. to schlep out someone else who's due to come out to schlep out. I don't even want to do that. I'd rather not go there at all. That's how the Al-Sheikh learns. Yeah? Big dynamite shot. Yeah? Oh, let's move on to a piece of Medrash Rabbah. Which is also
in such a terrible place. Just keep me well away from it.
Keep me well away, even for the good, even for good reason. Absolutely. Yeah, even for good reason. Okay, with something which you mentioned last week, which I'll say again in a slightly more expanded form, and that is on this expression sova smochus in the last pasuk. Sova smochus. The point about this word sova is that it's spelt without a vav. Sin veis ayin, not sin vav veis ayin. And on that basis, the Medrash Shechetov and also the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra, Simon Lamed O space, relate this word sova to the word sheva, seven. And it's sova smachos, it's sheva smachos, it's seven celebrations or seven simchas. Yeah, sheva brachos, yeah. The sheva smachos, seven happinesses. Oh, well, he doesn't bring that. I don't think he brings that one. He brings seven others. What are these other seven? He says it's Torah. Let's count them through. Torah, Nevi'im, Kesuvim, Mishnah, Tosefta, Gemara, Agadah. Those are the Sheva Smochos. That's how the Medrash HaKetuv and also the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra Siman Lamed O space brings it. Now he brings another one. Another form of these seven smachos related to the Chag HaSukkos. And I did mention this briefly last week. What are they? The four mitzvahs of shaking lulav, i.e. lulav, esrog, hadassim, aravos, plus korban chagiga, which we bring at Sukkos time, plus shalmei simcha, which we also bring at Sukkos time, plus the mitzvah sitting in the sukkah. So this sova smachos is a good one to remember for Chag HaSukkos. It's Sheva, it's the seven celebrations on Sukkos that we have those seven mitzvahs. Then goes on to bring another pshat on the seven, and I'll read this out to you. Zayin kitos shel tzadikim. It's seven groups of tzadikim she'asidim lahakbel panei shechina, who will in the future be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ufneim domos, and their faces are bright, shining faces of tzadikim, and they resemble, and here we go with a list of seven, lechama, the sun, v'lalavana, ulavana, and the moon, Lorakia, the sky, Olakochovim, and the stars, Liverokim, which I think is lightning, Velashoshanim, and roses, the beauty of a rose, Velamanura Hatahura Shahisa Bavesa Mikdash, and also the brightness and the beauty and the grandeur and splendor of the menorah that was in the Beis Mikdash. Again, those seven things. Then the Medrash goes on to one other thing, and says, of all these groups of great tzaddikim, who is the one who will stand be a mincha, like our pasuk says, ne'imos be a mincha, standing at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand side. Which tzaddikim stand on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right? Says the Medrash, a machlokas, who they are. One view is zu sheba'o mikolcha shel Torah, someone who comes from the strength of Torah, ayat Talmud Chacham, or mikolcha shel mitzvos, and someone who comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the full backing, with the full weight of the Torah and the mitzvos, not this person who spends his life learning Torah and performing mitzvos. That's the first shot. He stands at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand side. Second shot is Elu Sofrin u'Meshanin. These are the Rebbes. who teach Shemalamdin Tinokos Lamiton, the people who teach children Torah in truth. Shemasidim Lamed Biminesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will stand, they will in the future stand at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand side. The people who teach young children Torah and then start them off in life and a good way of life of learning Torah, they are the ones who stand on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand side. Let's turn the tape over. Right, now we come to the beautiful sefer of Rav Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky on Tehillim. I've quoted him a few times before. Rav Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky says as follows. He says, when a person, well, he quotes the Pesukim, he quotes the Pesuk in Devarim, chapter Dalad, Pesuk Lamed, which speaks about when a person's in trouble. Batzar lecha, I think we learned this on Tisha B'Av. Batzar lecha, umetza'ucha, kalad barim ha'ila, when you're in trouble and bad things, and all these bad things happen to you. Bachris ha'yomim, what happens when Klal Yisrael face bad situations, v'shavta ad Hashem elekecha, you will turn with teshuvah towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shamata b'kol, and you'll listen to his voice. When times are bad, we tend to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do teshuvah. The converse is also true, and he quotes the Pasuk in Devarim chapter Ches, from Pasuk Yud Aleph onwards. Yishom elecha, guard yourself, pentishkaches Hashem elekecha, in case you forget Hashem, not to guard his mitzvahs and so on, pentochal v'savata, in case you eat and you'll be satisfied, uvatim tovim tivne v'yashavta, you'll build yourself good houses and you'll dwell and you'll be happy. Of the Karach of a Sincha Yirviyun, and you'll have plenty of wealth. It's from Akev. Of course, Akev. Oh. You're by Mr. Sedra, and our son's by Mr. Sedra.
This time I'm
Yes Hashem. Yeah. Of course, expert. That's it. Oh. So, you'll have plenty of cattle, and you'll be wealthy, that's it, and you'll have plenty of money, and you'll have plenty of all good things. That's the good news. The bad news is, for Rom Levavecho, your hearts will be exalted, you'll become a bit of a Baal Gaiva, and you'll forget Hashem your God who brought you out of Mitzrayim. So in bad times we think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The warning signal is in good times it's so easy to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Along comes David HaMelech in our chapter, and he says, no, Shvis Hashem and Exisomid, Pasuches, I place HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me all the time, and I won't forget him at all. And the last Pesukim here speak about all good things. Sovav Samachos, Espanecho, I'll be happy with you in your presence, the Imos be Mincha. Says David, even in the good times, I cannot forget you. Even in the good times, I won't fall into the trap, as written there in Parshas Akev. I won't fall into the trap of forgetting about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, that's how Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky learns it. Now, another piece from Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky, which you just have to hear, and that's as follows. He quoted the Medrash, which we mentioned last week. Medrash is in Medrash Rabbah, and it's in chapter. It's in Vayikra Rabbah, chapter Lamed Os Yud Aleph, where we speak about the Esrog. Sorry, one moment, I'm just going to backtrack on that. A different piece of Medrash Rabbah there on the Pasuk Lekachtim Lachem Bayimarish and creates Hotar. So we learn Sukkos we shake Lod of an Esrog. Yep, Sukkos we shake Lod of an Esrog. So he says that the after going through Yom Neroim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sis Teshuvah, the whole Teshuvah experience, we don't know has our Teshuvah been accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know if Klal Yisrael have come through this period of judgment well, or maybe Chas V'Shalom we have not come through it well, and we don't know. Comes to Sukkos, first day Sukkos, and we go out with our lulavim and our esrogim, and we hold our lulavim and our esrogim, and that's the simon of victory. Let me read this lashon to you. It's in Vayikra Rabbah chapter Lamed, and it's Os Yud Aleph, where he says, chapter Lamed in Vayikra Rabbah, chapter Lamed Os Beis, where, yeah, this looks right, that says, Kach Yisrael, B'ma'ashe Yisrael Yotzim Melefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that Klal Yisrael go out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lulavim v'esragim b'idehem, then v'lulavim v'esragim in their hands, then on the yedim yisol imun nitzuchaya. Then we know that Klal Yisrael have been successful. That's how we're nitzuchaya. We've been menatzeach. We've been victorious in our battle to do teshuvah. And we've won that war. Because we go out with our lulavim v'esragim. Now, another version of this medrash, which is brought, and now I can't remember where it's, yes, I do know where it's brought. It's brought in the Yalkut Shimoni. Slightly different version. It says that gedolim uketanim, not just the Yisrael go out with their lulav nesogim, but in the Yalkut Shimoni on our chapter in Tehillim brings a lotion of gedolim uketanim, young and old, we're all out there with our lulav and our esrog, and that's the simon that we've been menaseh, that we've been successful in our drive to do teshuvah. And I mentioned last week there's a bit that is similar to the person like Sheikh Yalulav in as a victory, symbolic of victory. Lahavdil, like a victorious soldier might shake his rifle, or in the old days his spear, you know, as a symbol of victory. Or the World Cup, holding up the World Cup. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's a symbol of victory. Oh, so these things, it's a symbol of victory. Now, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky in his Pirush on Tehillim asks a question. He says, what is there that's so significant about this idea of holding the lulav and esrog, of holding the lulav and esrog? Why is that a symbol of our victory? Why is that a symbol of our victory? So he gives an answer which goes as follows. And he quotes this from a sefer, I have to give you the quotes. He quotes it from a sefer in the name of someone called Hagon Marina Rav Hagon Rav Moshe Segal Polak. Rav Moshe Segal Polak. Segal usually means he's a scum Levi, means he's a Levi Polak. And he quotes it from a sefer called Tikkun Moshe, Chelek Hei, and it's in the Drosha for Sukkos. Drosha for Chag Sukkos. And his Drosha goes as follows, and he quotes it in full, and it goes as follows. We know that when it comes to the Arba Milim, now I'll give you the tape where you catch up on the net, I don't hold you up. So, yeah, it'll be on the net, don't worry, on the website, yeah? When it comes to Lulav and Esrog, well-known Medrash. We know the Medrash which is in Vayikra Rabba, again it's chapter Lamed and it's Os Yud Aleph, which speaks about the four Minim, the Arba Milim we take on Sukkos. The Esrog, Ma esrog zeh yesh bo tam v'yesh bo reach. It has a taste and it has an aroma as well. So the esrog refers to elements in Klal Yisrael who have Torah and also Ma'asim Tovim. The esrog's got two things going for it. It has a taste. You might not like it, but it has got a taste. Do you remember, Johnny, in our sukkah, when I said to you, and remember this? So I told you, have an esrog? And I'd give you a mazik if you had an esrog. Do you remember those? Remember now? No, I gave you my... Oh, yeah, you had an esrog liqueur as well. Yeah. No, but once... I don't remember, but I gave you a marzipan esrog. Remember that? Yeah, remember them. Yeah? Yeah. Feature of Sukkos and the Hepners. Right. Okay, but the real esrog, of course, it has a taste, and it also has this beautiful scent. Yeah, so that refers to Klal Yisrael, who've got two things going for them. They've got Torah and they've got Ma'asim Tovim. Kapas Tamorim, which is the lulav, is a reference to Klal Yisrael, because the Tamor, which is the date, it has a taste, but it has no scent. And that refers to Klal Yisrael, who have Torah, but don't have Ma'asim Tovim. The Anaf Eitz Ovos are the Hadassim. That's the, and that's again a reference to Klal Yisrael, elements in Klal Yisrael which have a scent, that doesn't have a beautiful smell, but there's no taste, in Botan they've got no taste. So also Yisrael is reference to Klal Yisrael who have Ma'asim and Tovim, but who don't have Torah. And the final one is the Arve Nochal, the Arovas. The Arovas is again a reference to Klal Yisrael. The Arova has no scent and it also has no taste. And that refers to elements of Klal Yisrael which have neither Torah nor Ma'asim Tovim. So all of Klal Yisrael are covered with symbolically through the Arba Milim. This is a well-known medrash. Now, based on that, we're left with a bit of a kasha. We shake the lulav and esrog, holding the lulav in our right hand and the esrog in our left hand. Generally, people who are right-handed, I'm left-handed, I hold the lulav in my left hand, the esrog in my right hand. Why do we do it that way around? Because the lulav is bound up together with the aravos and the hadassim. And therefore, it's three mitzvahs together. So we give prominence to the three mitzvahs together, and we hold those three mitzvahs in our right hand, giving it more chashivas in the right hand, while the one mitzvah, the eser, we hold in our left hand. That's the reason why we do it. However, there's a bit of a kash on that. If the esrog is representative of Klal Yisrael, of the cream of Klal Yisrael, those who have both Torah and Ma'asim Tovim, because the esrog has both a scent and a taste, surely we should give eminence, we should give prominence to the esrog. We should hold the esrog in our right hand. I think because the esrog represents the cream of the crop, right? The best of Klal Yisrael. Or hold it, okay, but at any rate, it should be held in the right hand, surely. That's the kasha, it should be held in the right hand. Why isn't the esrog held in the right hand and the others in the left? Okay, we know the reasons, because it's three mitzvahs versus one mitzvah. But nonetheless, you can't get away from the fact that the esrog has greater chashivas because it represents the best of Klal Yisrael, those with Torah and with Ma'asim Tovim. So he answers it by way of another medrash. A medrash which is in Vayikra Rabba, and it's Simon Lamed Os Dalad, where he quotes a pasuk of Oz Yerananu Galatse Yahar. Let me give you the quote. He actually quotes it from Bosnian Divrei Yomim, but I saw it as well quoted from the pasuk in Tehillim, and it's Tehillim chapter 35, pasuk Yud Beis, and we say it, of course, Friday night. Ya'alu sodai v'chol ashebo, my field will rejoice, and all that is in it will rejoice. Oz yu'aninu kalatzi yo'ar, then all the trees of the forest will rejoice. Lifnei Hashem, they'll rejoice before God. Kivo, because he's coming. Kivo lishpet ha'aretz, he's coming to judge the world. Yishpet ha'aretz, say that v'amin ben menaseh. Says the Medrash, this is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu judging the world at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur time. Okay, now, who is the one who is celebrating? It's Yalu Sodai V'chol Ashebo, and Ozraninu Kol Atzei Yo'ar. Kol Atzei Yo'ar means all the trees of the forest, not just the trees that give a fruit, which are the best trees of all, trees that give fruit. Says this Medrash Rabbah, Vayikra, chapter Lamed Ostalud, it's not just the trees that give fruit, it's V'chol Atzei Yo'ar, it's all the trees of the fruit, Eilu Elana She'inon Osim Peris, even the trees that don't give fruit. Meaning, absolutely everybody. We all do teshuva. Whether from the greatest to the lowest, everybody does teshuva. Kivolish Peter Oris when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to judge the world. The trees referring to the human beings, that's right. It doesn't just say Atzei Yo'ar, the trees of the forest, which would represent trees that give fruit, i.e. the best trees. It says Ozrananu Kol Atzei Yo'ar, all the trees. All the trees means even the trees that don't give fruit. Why? In other words, even those people in Klal Yisrael who don't have such high madrigas, we all do teshuva. That's how the Medrash Rabbah learns it. Based on that, we can refer now back to Klal Yisrael, that even those who are like the Aravos with neither Torah nor Ma'asim Tovim, and even those who are like the Lulav or like the Hadass with either Torah and not Ma'asim Tovim, or with Ma'asim Tovim and not with Torah, we all do teshuva. If everybody does teshuva and we're all joined together as one to do teshuva, then we can understand. Now we understand why we hold the Lulav in our right hand. Yeah, because the, even though the asterisk seems to be is represents those who have Torah and Ma'asim Tovim, everyone else has done teshuva as well, because it's Kol Atzei Yo'ar, all the trees, even those without great high madrigas, everybody's done teshuva. That is echoed in this other medrash, in the Elkut Shimonian, in this medrash Rabbah, that everybody goes out Gedolim Uketanim with their Lulavim in the right hand. Once again, with the Lulavim in the right hand, and that's the true. That is truly symbolic of the fact that we have been menatzeach, that we have succeeded in our teshuva. Why? Because we're prepared to hold even the Lulav and the Hadassim and the Aravos, which are not the highest of the highest, and we hold those in our right hand. Why? We're prepared to give them chashivas. Why? Because everybody's done teshuva. Kol Atzei Yo'ar, everybody's done teshuva. Therefore we are prepared to hold in our right hand because everybody's done teshuva. If everybody's done to Shiva, then going out with your lulav in your right hand is the best simon that we've really made it. That we are. Rovasim Hadassim and the Lulav don't represent the top notch of Klal Yisrael, but even they have done teshuvah. As I call out here, even they've done teshuvah. Therefore, going out with our Lulavim in our hands, in our right hands, biyaminos, ni'imos biyamincha. Yeah, ni'imos biyamincha. Netzach is in the right hand, is Netzach, is a simon of victory. That's the simon we've been victorious in our teshuvah. That's a big complicated piece, so that's how Rav Sudashinsky knows. It's really beautiful. That's because of all the lulav in our right hand, giving chashivas to the lower elements of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they are kol atziyah, even the lower elements of Klal Yisrael, even they've done teshuvah. That's the sign that we've really have been accepted, that we've done teshuvah, that we've all done teshuvah, and that we're all up there with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ne'imos, pleasantness, be a mincha in our right hand, lulav in the right. Netzach is a lashon of nitzach, of victory, being victorious in our teshuvah.
Chesed is those people are not quite perfect in every way, but balancing against the Gevurah, where now you've got the perfect ones in Gevurah, you've actually made one nature. Gevurah and Chesed have come together, which are two opposite ends, but in Hashem they're one, and you've got both displayed. You're showing that Hashem is one because Gevurah and Chesed are united.
Beautiful, yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, good. Right, we're nearly done. You're right, Norman. We're nearly done. Okay. We're nearly.
So, Klal Yisrael have done teshuvah. That's what the lulav is.
Absolutely,
because it represents the whole of Klal Yisrael, or just the tzaddikim, i.e. the Esrei.
That's it.
The lulav with the hadassim, with the aravos, representing those who haven't got all the top qualities.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, they've done teshuvah, and therefore we give them prominence by holding them in the right hand. That's the symbol of true success over the period of time of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
The whole of Klal Yisrael has done teshuvah.
That's it. Yeah. Now, one other. There's two more things here. A couple of small things here. This is in the Sefer called Tefillah LeMoshe, which is the Pirush on Tehillim by Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, who was the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe, that's it. Yeah. So he says.
Moshe, who's what they go with.
Yeah, I believe Rav Moshe Teitelbaum was the father of Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. So he says. Let's get this right. Yeah. Sevach Smachos Espanecho. Sevach Smachos with being seated with happiness Espanecho in your presence. Again, being referenced to Olam Haba. So he comments that when it comes to Olam Hazeh, people think that Olam Hazeh is Yesh. There is something there. Yesh. There is something there. He just gives a beautiful commentary comparing Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. He says, when it comes to Olam Hazeh, we think to ourselves, Yesh, we think that there's something there. However, in the fullness of time... Sorry? We think that when it comes to the joys and the pleasures of Olam Hazeh, we think, Yesh, there's something there. In the fullness of time, we realize, Ein. There actually is nothing there. And because of that, he quotes the Maimah Chazal, there's Mish Yesh Le Moneh, a person who's got 100, he wrote to Masayim, he wants 200, because till he has the 100, he thinks the 100 is Yesh, or there's something there to be had. Once he has the 100, he goes, 100 is good, there's nothing. And therefore, he wrote to Masayim, he wants the 200. So we think Yesh, and then we realize Ein. However, Olam Haba is the opposite. Olam Haba is Yesh. There really is. There's something there, and it's something of true, lasting value. And he quotes the Gemara. No, not the Gemara. He quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, and it's chapter Ches, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, which says, and it's quoted in the last Mishnah of Shas, La Hanchil Ohava Yesh, to cause my beloved ones to inherit Yesh. The thing that is there. and that's a reference to Olam Haba. The Menachos Mishnah and Shas learns from it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Tzaddikim 310 Olamos, and 310 is Gematria Yesh. So, Lahamchel Olava Yesh, to bestow upon my beloved ones, Yesh, the thing that really does exist and really is there, and that's Yesh, that's Olam Haba. That's just because our Pasuk here, at the end of the last few Pasukim, we speak a lot about Olam Haba. So he points that out. And that's true Olam Haba, which is Sova Samachos Es Ponecha, in your presence. Okay, I will finish there, but I'll just add one last thing, and that is, on this Pasuk, there's in the Sefer on Tehillim, written by Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, the Satmar Rebbe, he's got a long, long piece here, which I did not understand. But one small thing which is so delightful, I have to say, even though I don't really understand how it connects in with our chapter, I can't keep this to myself, I have to pass it on. And that is that we say, Zman Chazal, that Ulakhtam Lachem by Yemarish, and he speaks also about this Lulav, the idea of taking the Lulav and Esrig on first Issachus. Ulakhtam Lachem by Yemarish and creates Hodah, you take yourself the Lulav and Esrig by Yemarish on that first day. Say Chazal, by Yemarish, what's this first day? Yemarish Lecheshben Ha'avonos. It's the first day of calculating sins. You had this? The first day of Sukkot is called Yom Rishon, Lekachtem Lachem by Yom Rishon. It's the first day of the calculation of a person's Averis. So, what does this mean? So, I always understood now that till Sukkot starts, we're busy with Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Mitzvah, and Yom Kippur. Teshuvah, we're busy with Teshuvah, Yom Kippur comes and wipes out our Averis, and between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we've only got a handful of days, which are mad, crazy, busy days, getting our Sukkot built at 3 in the morning, and getting our Bar Minim sorted out, right, and trying to learn a bit of Hilchos Yom Tov, etc, etc. Right? So those days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot are very, very busy, very jam-packed, active days. Therefore, there's no time for Averis. Comes first day of Sukkot, right, we breathe a sigh, right, the answer has come in, our Sukkot's built, hopefully it's still standing, little of an Esri, we're all sorted, all done, and therefore, that is therefore a danger time. We can relax, and because we can relax, there's a danger, Yom Tov comes in, then we can actually put our feet up, and therefore it's Yom Rishon Lecheshven Ha'avonos, it's the first day that a person's Averis may well start. That is pshat that I heard a long time ago. However, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum brings in this wonderful pshat, which I have to tell you. He quotes it from the Kedushas Levi. He says, says as follows, through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're busy with Teshuvah. But that Teshuvah is a Teshuvah Meira. It's a Teshuvah born out of fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come Sukkot, and we're busy with the Mitzvah Sukkot and Arba Minim and all the other Mitzvahs of the Chag. That is also Teshuvah, but it has a certain added beauty. It's Teshuvah Me'ahava. Teshuvah Me'ahava, which is on a much higher level than Teshuvah Me'ira. When a person does Teshuvah through Yira, through fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Averis are removed. When a person does Teshuvah in a higher level, i.e. Teshuvah Me'ahava, his Averos turn into mitzvahs. So when it comes along to Sukkot, and we're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a service of Teshuvah Me'ahava, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to himself, they're doing Teshuvah Be'ahava, they're doing Teshuvah with love. Now, I need to turn all the Averos into mitzvahs, so let's quickly find out how many Averos they've done so that I can turn them into mitzvahs. Isn't that an amazing, beautiful pshat? Yeah, and he quotes it in the Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum. He quotes it and he says it's a pshat that is fitting for the Baditshner Rebbe, the Kedushas Levi. Why? It's well known that the Kedushas Levi was always melamed zechus on Klal Yisrael. He always bent over backwards to speak well of Klal Yisrael. He says, that was that lovely, this Teshuvah Me'ava turns our Averis into mitzvahs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, so you've done Teshuvah Me'ava, have to find out how many Averis you've done so that I can turn them into mitzvahs. And the Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum brings it on this Pasuk, but I don't understand the connection, but I just had to pass it on because it's amazing. Yeah, that's good.